Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Good afternoon. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Mile High Sports Radio, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3 FM, MileHighSports.com, everywhere. Without Eric Goodman today, Eric Goodman is on assignment in the words of the late, great Irv Brown, and sitting in is the star of the 3 to 4 p.m. hour.
Ooh.
Denver sports betting, Mr. Anilo Pirro. How are you, man?
Oh, I'm hanging in there, Mace. It is an absolute pleasure to be here with you. I've been a big fan of your work for a long, long time. And obviously, I used to produce the show with Eric. And once I found out that you were going to be taking over for Les, I was like, all right, looks like we're going to just keep on rolling on. So
we've been
thrilled
trying
to be here with you, man.
We've been trying. Appreciate it. Want to tell you, before we move on, about the Silter Har Mazda Rediscover the Road event. And hey, if you're going to rediscover the road, why not do it in a Mazda CX-30, a small crossover SUV with all-wheel drive, leather trim seats, great power, and 32 miles per gallon on the highway? That sounds great because I'm a cheapskate and I don't like spending a lot for gasoline. So it's everything for your next adventure to enjoy, everything we love about Colorado. And don't forget, when you buy from Silter Har Mazda, it's stress-free and hassle-free, and that's the way it should be. No one does it like Silter Har Mazda. Get to Broomfield or go to sthmazda.com. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location, off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
Let's just ask this right off the bat, Anilo. How is history going to recall the Juwan James era with the Denver Broncos?
Oh, man. About it. Who was it? Menelik Watson. I saw someone tweeted out the other day, like, I didn't think it could get worse than Menelik Watson. And here we are now with Juwan James. What a situation, man.
It's steadily gone downhill from, the original sin of this whole thing was moving Orlando Franklin from right tackle to guard back in 2014.
Right.
And that started the carousel. There have been 17 different starting right tackles for the Denver Broncos since the start of the 2014 season. If they add a free agent, you know, like a Dennis Kelly, for example, Charles Leno Jr., Bobby Massey, these are the names being kicked around. If they add a free agent, it's going to be 18 since the start of the 2014 season. They had hoped Juwan James would be a little bit longer lasting, but it's very possible he's played his last down with the Denver Broncos. He's going on the non-football injury list. Effectively, his season is over. Presumably, the next thing is perhaps trying to work out a settlement right now. Of course, he has a $10 million salary for this year. There's $9 million of his signing bonus left. But because he suffered that Achilles injury off-site, you imagine the Broncos, and not just the Broncos, the NFL, on having the Broncos on their behalf, they're going to want the Broncos to try to recover a good chunk of that to prove a point. This thing with the Broncos and Juwan James, it may be a proxy war between the NFL and the NFLPA.
That's a great the casualty, you know, is almost kind of the way that I look at it, is a sacrificial lamb in a way of Juwan James. As you knew there was going to be some player that was going to suffer some sort of injury. Obviously, this comes in the middle of the frenzy with teams and players deciding to choose to not work out at team facilities. So, look, obviously you feel bad for anyone that, you know, suffers a career devastating injury like Juwan James did, obviously losing out on a bunch of money. But I know there's a lot of Broncos fans very frustrated with the lack of availability on Juwan James' end. He'd kind of been, there's some rumors going around that maybe he doesn't like to play unless he's truly 100%. So, you know, it's a very, very interesting situation, Mace, but he is certainly caught in the crossfire here. And this result, you know, talking about recouping the money, who's going to get paid what, you know, how that's going to shake out. This is absolutely positively going to set some sort of precedent of how these cases are going to be handled moving forward between the NFL and the PA.
I mean, really, you look back on it and Vic Fangio late in the 2019 season, you know, basically questioning
publicly,
calling out Juwan James for not playing. James said, hey, I've got a knee problem. I don't have stability on that knee. I actually was part of a small group of reporters that talked to Juwan James right before the end of the 2019 season, back when you could still go in the locker room. It seems like ancient history. When you had that conversation, it was very much a he said kind of thing. The Broncos insisting, hey, Juwan, you can play. Juwan James, who had dealt with lengthy injuries in two previous seasons to that point, saying no, he couldn't. Of course, he only played 63 snaps. You go back to the end of this past season when Garrett Bowles was asked about Juwan James on a Zoom conference, and he talked about James needing to regain the trust of the rest of the offensive linemen. Now, of course, James opted out because of COVID last year, but I think when you're talking about regaining the trust, that's not about opting out due to COVID. That's about an unwillingness to play through something that the Broncos want him to play through. It's interesting that the NFLPA puts out a big statement regarding Juwan James and regarding how things are going to happen and how they expect to, how they want to see changes in terms of players working out. But you get the sense that there's not a lot of support for Juwan James, even among the Broncos locker room, let alone the organization.
Right. And you know, maybe if this is a different player, maybe a more popular player in a locker room, maybe the response is a little different. But and I mean, that's the thing is the offensive linemen, right? I mean, there's sort of a fraternity, right? I mean, the term the Hogs is something that's thrown out. You know, these are supposed to be your brutes, the tough guys, you know, that you see, that you lean on, right? And Juwan James, I guess, I hate to stereotype, but he didn't fit that mold per se, right? And I think hearing Garrett Bowles say some of this stuff about you need to earn, it's one thing to piss off the fan base, right? It's another thing when your teammates don't have your back. And I think that's very reflective of where Juwan James's personality was at in a Broncos locker room, despite there's, you would know better than I am, but it seems like there's always been a little bit level of continuity in that locker room, regardless of the results.
Offensive line is about many things. Chief among them is trust.
Yes.
Because trust and chemistry, because you want to have a group that works together. The best offensive lines are in cohesion. And that's why you said, that's why you talk about when you put together some players on the offensive line, you don't want to have a lot of changes from year to year because you're disrupting that cohesion. You're disrupting that chemistry that you're building. And if a guy doesn't fit in that culture, it's going to undermine. And the other thing, like you talk about like the Hogs, for example, the Broncos have historically a very strong offensive line culture. Remember the whole thing for years about how none of the offensive linemen would talk to the media? And even in recent years, still having a kangaroo court to fine guys for being quoted or making a TV appearance and that sort of thing.
Right.
I mean, from my perspective in the media, it always seemed kind of ridiculous and petty and pointless. But it's one of those things that built that culture and chemistry within that room. And Juwan James, he didn't seem to fit. The interesting thing is you could say that the other two free agents that the Broncos brought in at right tackle in 2016 and 2017, of course, 2016 Donald Stevens and 2017 Menelik Watson, those guys didn't really fit all that well either.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you bring up a good point using the word trust. There needs to be some sort of synergy, right, between offensive linemen. It's different than like a receiver, right? I mean, like an Antonio Brown, for example, right? He can come in there to Tampa Bay. He's a character, not a great locker room guy, but you know you're getting this electric wide receiver out there that can make an impact for you.
And he's also a receiver.
Exactly.
Receiver and corner, the most individual of positions that aren't on special.
Precisely. And the line is just so different. And you laid it out perfectly of it's very much a collaborative effort, right? I mean, you can have an anchor on one side of the line or, you know, the other, but it's really it's a group affair. You know, I mean, if you want to be able to defend your quarterback, everyone has to be on the same page. You see, like, I'm a Dallas Cowboy fan, self-disclosed.
Great wall of Dallas.
And the synergy was through and through. You had Travis Frederick, Zach Martin, Tyron Smith, and some of the other guys, and it worked for a handful of years. And it was talked about on the TV left and right. So obviously the mentality of an offensive line is very, very important, and Juwan James did not fit into that. And I mean, you look at guys like Garrett Bowles as well. I mean, they're established, but they're not, you know, firmly established, right? I mean, there's still up-and-coming players, Dalton Reisner, some of these other guys as well. So, you know, it's these players can read through the BS right away, and it seems like that's what the Broncos did.
You kind of have to establish that a little more quickly than you did back in the 80s and 90s, though,
right,
just because of free agency and how there's constant churn. So, like, Garrett Bowles, I mean, believe it or not, we're sitting here talking about him being year five.
Right.
Talking, or in a year, he's going to be 30. Yeah. So, Garrett Bowles is one of those guys that you actually say is an established player. He is right. one of the so most senior players on the roster. I mean, yep,
it's crazy.
Yeah. Like Ferris Bueller said, life moves pretty fast. Dalton Reisner's going into his third year on the line.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And, you know, then they have Graham Glasgow back and, of course, Lloyd Cushenberry, although it'll be interesting to see if Lloyd Cushenberry gets pushed by Quinn Meinerz.
I'm a big third round pick
this year they made last week.
Yeah, we'll have to see. You know, it's going to be interesting. I think Quinn Meinerz, you know, you look at a D3 prospect, but obviously it's going to pop out on tape because of the talent that he's playing against. But I mean, that dude is gut is what they call him for a reason.
It popped out of the Senior Bowl as well. And that's
right,
the thing.
Right.
Like if he had gone to Mobile in January and those D3 guys, whenever I go down there, I've always got my eyes on them because that's the proving ground. I've seen as many of those D2, D3 guys just fall on their faces and fade away as flourish.
Right.
Now, he gets down there, and not only are we talking about the level jump, but we're talking about somebody who did not play the 2020 season because there was no D3 football until the spring.
Right.
And not only does he dominates while being in great shape. He lost 20 pounds, added some muscle. I mean, the gut, his nickname, was not as big as it was before, but he was just mauling people. And even though he has that level jump, the fact that you've at least seen that he can do it against a high level of competition, you know, pretty much everyone at the Senior Bowl is going to be in the NFL in some form or fashion. If you can do it there, you have a pretty good chance of being able to do it at the next level. I mean, certainly the talent is there. That said, Lloyd Cushenberry, he did improve. He did improve late in the season, so it's not something that's a slam dunk either way. Real quick, what do you want to see the Broncos do at right tackle going forward? Do you want to see them add somebody, or in the interim, for the next few weeks, do you give Calvin Anderson a look?
I think you've got to give Calvin Anderson a look. I think it's always wise to see what you've got internally first. And I mean, you threw out a handful of names as well there at the beginning of the segment that I think would be solid options. I think it also, it just depends at the end of the day which direction this team is trying to go. I think if they truly believe in Anderson and they believe his progression and they look at Drew Locke, I know they want to make the playoffs this year, right? But if they're tried and true of, hey, we're going to go dive in deep, we're going to be a 9-10 win team, then I think you explore the free agent market. But if you want to get a little bit more patient with it, let Drew Locke grow with somebody that, you know, maybe there's a little familiarity there, I think you stick with what you got.
And the bottom line is, some of these guys that are available now are going to be available in a few weeks.
Exactly.
Maybe even this summer. The Broncos, remember, got DeMar Dotson last year, who played pretty well, especially in pass pro. They got him in August.
Yeah.
6 years ago, they got Evan Mathis in August. I think they can afford to wait and let Calvin Anderson have at least a couple weeks of OTAs, find out what they've got. Coming up on the other side, of course, the big story of May in Denver sports, with all respect to the Avs and Nuggets, is and will be Aaron Rodgers. Vegas says the Packers are a slight favorite for his services this year, but among other teams, the Broncos are the overwhelming favorite if Rodgers moves on. But what if the Broncos don't come out of the next few weeks and months with Aaron Rodgers? What comes next? Todd McShay of ESPN provided a peek into that, and we're going to dive into it on the other side. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Eric Goodman on assignment and Neil Lapiro filling in for him here on Mile High Sports Radio, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD, 3 FM, and of course on milehighsports.com.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
You know, if you're watching the feed on milehighsports.com, you saw Neil Pirro and I just kind of bobbing our heads.
Good music. Danny is coming in hot today.
I know. Danny always comes in hot with voices.
Funky stuff. Yeah.
You know, it's a much more interesting show, though, with you here or Eric here than if it were just me, myself, and I here.
Right, that'd be a little interesting.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Without Eric Goodman today, he's on assignment, and Neil Lapiro of the Denver Sports Betting Show. Did I read that right? Denver Sports Betting Show? Filling in, you had heck of a guest, or two guests today on the Denver Sports Betting Show. Two great wide receivers from the early 1990s, or mid-1990s, I should say.
Whoop, there goes the Coke. The Coca-Cola.
That's all right. My keyboard got it.
No, so there you go.
But I got to play it anyway.
So I had a former Bronco Rod Smith on the show, as well as it was Smith & Co. That's what we called it, because we also had Jimmy Smith, former receiver for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Does have two rings with my Dallas Cowboys from early on in his career as well, though.
Right, but there's no room for him at the end, basically. Right. No room for him to play.
Yeah, he was talking about how, you know, playing behind guys like Irvin and Harper, he knew he wasn't going to play, which is why he ended up, you know, going elsewhere out there, making a nice career for himself out there in Jacksonville. But Rod, so the Denver Sports Betting Show is a subsidiary of my company, Denver Sports Betting.
Kind of generic, right?
But we're a sports betting media information site, so we cover sports from a betting perspective. And Rod is our chief brand ambassador, so he's been involved with us going back to July, August. And he calls me last night. He says, "Hey, I got Jimmy Smith in town. You want to let me come on the show with him?" I was like, "Yeah, be my guest." So away we went. Good conversation, though. They made their case about their Hall of Fame situation. So it'll be good. It'll be good.
Everybody check that out on milehighsports.com. You'll have it on your Twitter feed. Of course, if you want to hit us up on Twitter, using the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, I'm at Mace Denver, M-A-S-E Denver. Your handle is?
At Media by AP.
Media, M-E-D-I by A-P.
There it is. Unfortunately,
don't confuse that with the Associated Press.
That's why I wanted to just do like AP Media, AP Bets, AP Sports, but you can't because of that. The Associated
They've
Press, they
got
have everything.
on lockdown.
I should have done it in like 2011.
Yeah.
You know, I should
have
just
No, you would have had to go before then.
Yeah,
man, that would have probably have to been like 07, the early days of Twitter back in the in the days when the San Diego Chargers account was being used to extol the virtues of P.F. Chang's. My favorite
good times.
My favorite tweets ever by an NFL account. Time now for the buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Why does Mighty Plumbing and Heating have nearly 155 star reviews? No one has better service and they will meet or beat any written offer. Go to mightyph.com.
Now, I talked with a friend of our program, a friend of many people in this market, and even though he's on other stations, Benjamin Albright, today.
Good guy.
Yes, very good guy. And Ben put the chances of Aaron Rodgers coming to the Broncos when he joined us on our DNVR Broncos podcast this morning, put the chances at 55%.
Okay.
55 that he would be a Bronco, 45 that they'd find a way to keep him in Green Bay.
So with that 55 that he would be a Bronco, but is it also in a way
just straight up? It's basically a binary at this point.
Right.
He's a Packer or a Bronco.
Right. Okay. So that's where I was going to go, because it seems like Denver's going to be able to make the most competitive trade offer.
And the other thing is also, even though there's a lot of saber rattling going on, once cooler heads prevail in Green Bay, if they can't come to some kind of accord with him, I think they will deal him. Mm-hmm. Just because, and something we discussed on the show yesterday, there is value to what you, it's $29.8 million you get back from Rodgers if he retires. That's nice, but there is value to what you would get back in terms of the draft capital from the Broncos if you made a trade.
Right.
That would probably be worth more in the end than just Aaron Rodgers writing a check, and the Packers are not a cash poor organization.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. It's a fascinating situation, Mace, and I think it was Danny. I was talking to somebody here at the station earlier today, and it definitely feels like it's cooled off, you know, quite a bit, a little bit. If you would have asked me what was the percent, I mean, I'm not in the know like you are, but it seemed, you know, there was a lot of morale, a lot of momentum behind it, you know, last week, obviously, with the draft. But I think Albright, he really knows his stuff. I think 55%, if he's saying 55%, you take that, you know, as close to gospel, you know, in the NFL media circles. I hope it happens personally, man. I think Aaron Rodgers is the perfect fit for the Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. I love what it would do in regards to opening up the other aspects of their game, what it would allow Vic Fangio to do, how he could take the Broncos offense to new heights, Aaron Rodgers. So I'm all aboard the train, but it does seem like, man, Green Bay should be able, you know, it's Green Bay, you know? I mean, he's got to win another one there, you think? You know, it seems like there's a little bit of unfinished business.
There's been unfinished business for the last 10 seasons. I mean, he won a Super Bowl there, and we may not get to in this segment, but we will get to the whole thing of what if the Broncos don't get Rodgers, because it's a fascinating thing to consider. It's been 10 years, 10 seasons.
It's been 10 years.
haven't won. It's been a long time. It's basically been a generation.
Yeah.
You know, almost everybody from that Packers team that won it all in 2010 is out of the NFL, except for Aaron Rodgers, different head coach, different GM. The late Ted Thompson, of course, was the GM back then. Brian Gutekunst has slid up into the top chair there in Wisconsin. It's been a long time. A lot of near misses. Some of it, yeah, you could say maybe Rodgers fell short. But I think a lot of it not on him. I mean, like, for example, 2014, they play Seattle in the NFC Championship game in right. Seattle. Seattle defending its Super Bowl title. They could field an onside kick.
Right.
Green Bay's in the Super Bowl against New England, not Seattle. We don't have, maybe Malcolm Butler is not a household name.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah, it's true, man. And it's weird how that stuff shakes out. You know, there's been a couple instances where he's had a couple stinker games. I think that one against San Francisco a couple years ago, if I'm remembering correctly, he didn't play all that well in the championship game. Oh, yeah,
when they got destroyed in San Francisco. Right. Basically won without passing the ball.
Right, exactly.
I mean, it was a...
So it's going to happen.
It was a throwback game plan, basically.
Right.
Let's take the ball out of the hands of our quarterback, which also is one of those moments that led to Trey Lance being drafted.
Right.
Because the biggest game of the season to that point, and clearly Kyle Shanahan did not trust Jimmy Garoppolo. He was going to win it
right.
on the ground.
That's a great point.
And it was a successful plan.
The signaling of...
There have been moments like that that sort of said, okay, this is how the Niners got to that point. They showed that maybe they weren't all in. But yeah, 10 years, I mean, you step back and think about how Rodgers only has one title. And that, you look at how in Green Bay and in Wisconsin in general, I wouldn't say they're vilifying Aaron Rodgers, but they're more than happy to have him look like the bad guy.
Right.
And they're more than happy to paint him that way. And the thing that you're hearing and you see it on social media, they only won one title with Aaron Rodgers. You have people saying Favre was better. By the way, they only won one title with Brett Favre,
right.
too. I mean, if we're gonna split hairs here on the argument. At a minor league baseball game in Appleton, Wisconsin, a couple of nights ago, they put Aaron Rodgers' flashes on the video board for a local chain of car dealerships. The fans at this game boo.
Wow.
They booed Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty telling.
The PR
That's
push.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. But the PR push to make Aaron Rodgers the bad guy in Packer circles is in full swing. And frankly, it appears to be working, which basically means that you have the fans on board with either trading him or the Packers saying, you know what, just go ahead and not play and you can pay back the money that we gave you.
And this is where politics, you know, and PR, as you said, kind of comes into effect. And, you know, the leverage that the Packers will have is obviously Aaron Rodgers has always been kind of known as an interesting cat with his relationships, just how he carries himself publicly. It's not like he's this... he's loved Green Bay, but it's never been like he's like a tried and true, like, I'm a Packer for life, you know, type situation.
Brett Favre wasn't, and they end up, they hated him for a while, but they love him again now.
Right.
They hated him when he was a Viking.
Yeah, they did hate
him. And they hated him and people didn't like him as a Jet because that was more because of the things he was doing away from the field involving pictures that were,
right.
I mean.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, though. Yeah. One question I've always had about the Packers and their dysfunction and just how this has all played out over the last handful of years. How much do you think this is a result of not having a clear-cut ownership group?
I don't think it has that much of an impact on it because, first of all, you have somebody who's pretty clearly in control, and that's Mark Murphy. If anything, what it does is... It sort of adds a layer to how the fans feel because very much the fans feel it is their team.
Right.
I mean, they've had so many share offerings over the years. Like, for example, when they did their most recent renovation on Lambeau Field, they sold more shares to raise a lot of the money for that. Mm. Because of that, for example, there is a share of Green Bay Packers stock with my name on it because I thought, hey, it'd be kind of cool to have a share of the Packers. So I have a share of the Green Bay Packers. And so every year I get invited to the shareholders meeting and all that. The shareholders meeting, by the way, is in Lambeau Field and they just do all sorts of events around it. But
that's pretty cool.
They fill the stadium for a shareholders meeting.
That's so interesting, man. It's like a publicly traded football team.
Well, it's not publicly traded. That's the thing. It's publicly owned, but it's not traded. You can't sell the shares. And
really?
For many years, if the team was ever sold, the proceeds would have gone to the American Legion post in Green Bay. Now that has changed. If the team is ever sold to a private interest, the money would go to the Green Bay Packers Foundation, their charitable foundation.
Wow. That's so great. Who decides that?
Who decides, like, where like, it goes? Like,
yeah. Like,
the board of the, there's a board of directors.
That's so that interesting.
So
to
you've
me.
Got a, you have a CEO, and that's Mark Murphy.
Right.
You have a board of directors. And the thing is, it hasn't really led to any problems in the last 30 years or so. Of course, it helps when your quarterbacks are Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. And that's the
Bart
thing.
Starr before that as well.
Yeah. But between Bart Starr and Brett Favre, they went through about 20 years of quarterbacks who ranged from pretty good, like Lynn Dickey, flashes in the pan, Don Majkowski, to flat out, you know, forgettable mediocrities like Randy Wright and David Whitehurst. It was two decades of that.
Right.
And maybe a Packer fan who is younger than 35 doesn't understand it, but the old school Packer fans do. But the funny thing is, it's the old school Packer fans who seem to be saying, hey, Aaron Rodgers, see ya. So it makes it easier for the Packers to part ways with their guy if they get if they have the state of Wisconsin behind them. Coming up on the other side, it's going to be time for the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Gambling Challenge with the guys from the Just Us Guys podcast. We're going to talk about the Nuggets and the Avs. Avs playing the Kings this weekend. Nuggets playing the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow night. That's another big one, even though it's not a Western Conference game. Another litmus test type game for the Nuggets.
Yeah, they've been in a buzzsaw, man. They got Utah tonight.
Yes.
They had the Knicks already. They've had the Clippers and the Lakers recently as well.
Yep. So we're going to get into that on the other side. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Eric Goodman on assignment. Neil Pirro filling in for him. Mile High Sports Radio, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3 FM, and of course, milehighsports.com worldwide. I could really use a wish right now.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Eric Goodman, of course, on assignment. And Elo Pirro filling in and absolutely grooving.
You know, Puff doesn't refer to himself as Puff anymore. His new name is Love.
Really?
He posted a picture of his Florida ID. He's like, I'm not going by Puff. I'm not going by Diddy. I'm not going by this. I'm only by Love.
What's his favorite NFL team? Do we know?
I don't know. Where is he? I think he lives in Miami. So Dolphins is maybe an educated guess. He's from the Northeast, so maybe Jets, Giants as well.
Okay.
AFC, yeah. NFC East team. One of those.
Right. So he's not a Packer fan. I was going to
say. No, I don't think so.
Maybe he loves him some Jordan Love.
Right.
If he's talking about that, going by Love. If you want to join the conversation on the Rocky Mountain Forest Twitter feed, follow me at Mace Denver, and Elo, your handle is
at Media by AP.
Media by AP, MEDI by AP. And we want to tell you, of course, about our friends over at Rocky Mountain Forest Products. Of course, it's the only choice for wholesale lumber to the public. Family-owned business since 1974, Rocky Mountain Forest Products has become the leading supplier in the state for some of the most recognizable structures in Colorado. If you've been to Empower Field, Coors Field, Ball Arena, even the Stanley Hotel, guess what? You have seen Rocky Mountain Forest lumber at those places. If you're a do-it-yourself, forget your lumber from Rocky Mountain Forest Products when building your next fence, deck, or siding for your home. You can find Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com.
Real quick before you guys get into this, Sean Diddy Combs, he was in the running for the Panthers ownership back in 2018.
Yes.
So maybe a Panthers fan, but who knows if buying the team has anything to do with being a fan of that team.
Well, maybe.
Love.
Maybe if the Broncos are for sale, maybe he hops into the chat.
Yeah, maybe he's got the money for it. I mean, that guy. I mean, I don't know. Actually, if Bezos Ooh. Decides one day to want to get involved with anything, it's. I don't know.
Having the money for it, though, I mean, the Broncos might fetch $4 billion.
I forgot how much these things are worth now. Hey, Bill Gates is getting a divorce,
so it could be Bill or his ex bride.
He's got his ex bride
She's going to be worth billions herself, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kind of like Jeff Bezos' ex-wife.
There's a Colorado connection, though. I forget what it was. Bill Gates was at my high school, not my class, but I went to Holy Family High School in Broomfield. He was at the 2018 graduation because someone in his family is related to the wife.
Wow.
The ex-wife. So there's a picture of him on my high school football field. Bill Gates. So there's your connection, Mace.
Bill Gates owning the Denver Broncos.
There it is. I know that for a fact.
I wonder what kind of odds you could get on that. And speaking of odds, it's time for the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Gambling Challenge with our friends Ty, Cal, Cade, and Evan from the Just Us Guys podcast. Couple of games this weekend. We're going to start with the Nuggets on the money line tomorrow night. Of course, they're playing tonight against the Jazz. Money line tomorrow night against the Brooklyn Nets.
Oh, man, you reminded me it's the second night of a back-to-back.
Yep.
That's what's so crazy because I don't like picking against the Nuggets. I always try to advocate betting with your head versus betting with your heart. Screw it. We're going with the Nuggets, man. I get it's Brooklyn. Second night of back-to-back. Come on, man. You got to believe.
It is the second night of a back-to-back, but Brooklyn comes in slumping. They've lost right. four in a row to Portland, a couple to the Bucks, and then to Dallas last night. I think the timing is right, even though it's the second night of a back-to-back. I've got the Nuggets in that one. Also, tomorrow night, Avs are going against the Los Angeles Kings this weekend. Avs are -1.5. Who you got?
I'm all over the Avs, man. I just saw that they're still the cup favorite. I think you get them +400 to win the entire thing. That's for good reason. Give me the Avs against the Kings team. That's a little wishy-washy this year.
You're not going to lose money if you bet against the Avs every time. I say the same thing about my Tampa Bay Lightning as well. Give me the Avs. Guys, what do you think? Back-to-back for the Nuggets for a moment. Jazz and Nets.
It's tough, man.
And this is the thing. Everyone was so excited about beating the Clippers, and justifiably so. And they played great against the Knicks. But this is the gauntlet that the Nuggets are running through right now.
Yes. It is. It's been a tough stretch of basketball, but they're playing well. I mean, you know, they had that real kind of stinkerish game against the Lakers, which was disappointing. But, you know,
refs didn't help. I don't want to be that guy.
Right. No, they didn't. I mean, that call on MPJ at the end was so
bogus.
That was
one of the worst calls I've ever seen.
I feel like we say that every week, though, Mace.
I know.
These basketball refs are just egregious. I mean, it's the same thing with the baseball umpires. I mean, all these refs, NFL. I mean, it's just crazy to me that these pros, these are professionals.
Yeah.
Across the board.
When is Jokic going to get these calls?
Oh, I don't know if he's ever
going
to get them.
Until
he speaks up, which he's not going to.
He's about to be the MVP, despite what certain pundits who love Kansas City and hate Denver think.
Nick Wrong, baby.
Yeah, I didn't even want to mention his name.
No, it's okay. I was literally screaming yesterday, so I got heated on that one.
I can't say that I blame you. Of course, looking at the Nuggets, they're a half game back of the Clippers. The Nuggets do win the tiebreaker, but of course, the Clippers, the next five games they've got, the Knicks, who the Nuggets just destroyed, then the Raptors, the Hornets, the Rockets, and the OKC Thunder. Meanwhile, like we said with Denver, they're running the gauntlet right now. They've got the Jazz tonight. They've got the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow night. And then it does get a little more benign down the stretch, going Charlotte, Minnesota, Detroit, and then Portland, that final game. I hate having that be the final game.
I was going to say, it feels like that's going to mean something.
It's going to mean something to Portland. It feels like the Nuggets are going to be fighting to hold on to the 3 seed. And the Blazers might be fighting to get a better seed or stay out of the play-in tournament. Man, I hate having that mean something for the Blazers. That worries me.
Well, and there's also the reports, Terry Stotts is their head coach, right? And there's rumors that he's on the hot seat as well, that barring anything crazy, he might be out of Portland. So he might be coaching for his job or coaching to establish momentum down the stretch. So that's something that you have to monitor as well. But, you know, it's Utah and Portland. Those are the two rivalries that I think the Nuggets have at the moment. Anytime those two square off, it's usually you're in for a pretty epic game.
Is tonight, you think, a potential statement game?
I think so. I think so. And they're actually the 4-point dog against the spread, just to show you where the betting is at. Mm-hmm. I think there's a handful of factors. The Broncos, the Nuggets continue to get disrespected from the betting side of things and the general public because they lost Jamal Murray. People don't understand how good Nikola Jokic is. Mm-hmm. I think that this is a winnable game for the Denver Nuggets, despite the public kind of thinking elsewhere. Nikola Jokic is the MVP, as you alluded to, Mace. I think this is a really good opportunity for the Nuggets to just showcase how good they are. Right, and how they can compete with the best of the best. Going to be tough. They're down a lot of critical players, but Jokic, MPJ playing out of their minds right now.
I mean, the whole thing also that comes into play, again, they win the tiebreaker with the Clippers, But if the Nuggets lose one of these next two games, it falls completely out of their control. Right now, it's in their hands.
Spitting distance.
Yes, right now, it's even though they're a half game back, they control their own fate when it comes to the postseason and where they end up seeding if they can beat out the Clippers. Lose one of these two, and boy, oh boy, I mean, you're not going to get much tougher back-to-back than going Jazz and Nets. Then you're hoping... You're hoping for a Clippers loss. That's what's on the line tonight and tomorrow for the Denver Nuggets. What did we miss? Danny, tell us what we got on the other side.
Coming up on Just In Case You Missed It, DK Metcalf has shown off his speed on the football field. He'll be showing it off on the track this weekend. Also, a familiar face around these parts, pushing a rules change agenda in college basketball. That's next right here on Afternoon Drive with Piro and Mason. The K sounded like a French pimp bump back in the day. I take it to Ponderay and I watch her skate. I mean water ski, Ollie Ollie Oxen free.
Yo, mic check. Yeah, here you go.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Afternoon Drive, Goodman and Mason, although we're switching out Eric Goodman today, who's on assignment.
Eric who?
And Nilo Piro. Thank you for joining us here on Mile High Sports Radio, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3 FM, and of course, milehighsports.com, anywhere in the world. You can listen, you can watch. You can also, if you miss the show, no problem, download the podcast. Or if you've got an Alexa, just say, play Mile High Sports Radio.
Look at that.
And you're going to listen. When I was down at my parents' house in Florida last month, I was trying to figure out, okay, what are the Alexa keywords so my mom and dad can just tell Alexa what to listen to and listen to my shows. And so we tested and found it was Mile High Sports Radio. So it's just simple. Play Alexa, play Mile High Sports Radio, and there you go. And also, when you're done listening to us, you can say, Alexa, fart 100 times. And Alexa will fart 100 times.
Isn't that great?
Well, my 8-year-old daughter thought it was the greatest thing in the world.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
And I didn't think it was all that bad myself either.
Right. No, I got to have a little humor in life sometimes.
Oh, and sometimes my humor is straight up 8, 9 years old. Hasn't changed. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Denver Distillery. Their sweet potato vodka, bourbon, rum, and gin has a smooth and clean taste. Find Denver Distillery off Broadway in Denver or buy it at your local liquor store. And if they don't have it, demand it. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Before we get to Just In Case You Missed It, I just wanted to hit the GoFast Energy Drink hotline and text line 303-831-1340. Jordan Kurtz, who runs the MMA plug on Wednesday nights here, he texted in, Dalton Risner is a stud. Him and the rookie on the interior is very promising. Thanks for listening, Jordan, and thanks for your input. Also, just in case you missed it, DK Metcalf competing in the USA Track and Field Golden Games this Sunday in California in the 100-meter dash. If Metcalf records a time of 10.05 seconds or better, he earns an automatic invite to next month's Olympic trials. Who is Denver's fastest athlete?
Ooh. It's got to be a receiver.
Deontay Spencer, I would say.
Spencer.
I mean,
that would make sense. I know Hamler's a quick one. And I don't know.
It's Hamler or Spencer.
Yeah.
Has to be one of those two.
Good stuff. I mean, wow, that's a good question.
That is a really good question. I mean, it's not
one of the Nuggets.
It's not going to be any one of the Nuggets, probably. It's
one of the abs on the ice. I know it's skating, but it's completely different. Some of them zoom up and down.
Yeah. It's going to be
Ramel Tapia?
Maybe. It's going to be a football player 9 times out of 10 if you're discussing an entire sports market. And actually, I know I said Spencer first. I got to go KJ Hamler because I'm thinking in my mind's eye to the speed that he showed, especially at Penn State, it was just blinding.
Yeah, and he's got that little pudgy body type where he can just, like, Sonic, you know, just like, boom, 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 like a little hedgehog.
That's a good comparison. I like that.
Just in case you missed it, NCAA Men's Basketball Rules Committee has proposed a rule to assess a technical foul to players who flop. Tad Boyle, coach of the CU Buffaloes and the committee chair, said, "We're trying to get flopping out of our game. We're asking officials to call them when they happen." Do you think this is a good move for the NCAA, and do you think this needs to be applied in the NBA as well for flopping?
I absolutely love that they're doing this. Absolutely love it. I mean, it's basically the worst part of basketball right now is flopping. And anything you can do to get it out of the game. I mean, we've tried, obviously, with the half circle in the lane. It might be a bit of a judgment call, but I think it's worth trying here for the NCAA.
I agree, man. I think the NBA is a little soft this day and age. I know they have to make it a little safer. You can't be as physical and rough defensively, but the flopping is just next level. I mean, it makes it not fun to watch. You know, when you see this kind of stuff and they show it in the slow motion 20 times and you're just like, oh my gosh, enough. So anything we can do to get flopping out of the game, egregious flopping. Like, sometimes you got to flop to get the call. Like, I get that, right? Late in the game, you got to make the, you know, body up a little bit, but just like when you're getting touched with a finger, like, we got to get rid of the flopping.
And I think that's the difference there is the difference between embellishing and flopping.
Right.
Yeah. Flopping when there's no foul, or just making it more obvious that there was a foul.
Yeah.
Right.
What about the other rule change being tossed out about? They're going to experiment with this in the NIT next year. Six fouls in college
basketball. Yeah, I like that.
I think I do too.
I hate it.
Really?
Yeah. It's six fouls for the NBA, five fouls for college basketball. It's one foul per 8 minutes.
You put it like that, it makes sense.
The Big East tried this decades ago, and it was a complete flop, in part because they just did it as one conference, and that certainly hurt because their players couldn't readjust to 5,000 non-conference play in the NCAA tournament, but it just underscored physicality, and it just brought the game to a halt. I like it the way it is. I don't like this change, though. But it's only an experiment. They're going to try it in the NIT next year, so. That was Rocky Mountain Forest Products Mountain High Appliance. Sorry. Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it. You can try before you buy at Mountain High Appliance, unlike at the big box stores. And when you make a big purchase like appliances, don't forget, you want to work with people who know what they're doing. You want to work with people who have experience. They know the product they're selling. And the most experienced sales staff in Colorado is what you're going to find over at Mountain High Appliance. They'll help you get what you need. You can find Mountain High Appliance in Louisville and Littleton. And, of course, they've got their clearance center in Denver. They're going to take care of you. Coming up on the other side, hour number two of Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, with Anilo Pirro filling in for Eric Goodman. We're going to come back to what we were going to talk about earlier with Aaron Rodgers and got a little sidetracked. What if the Broncos don't get Aaron Rodgers? What might their season look like? Todd McShay of ESPN has a scenario based on where his mock draft has the Broncos doing. Yes, he did a mock draft for 2022. And what is implied by his selection, the Broncos spot, certainly opens up a Pandora's box. We're going to get to that on the other side. Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason. Anilo Pirro sitting in for Eric Goodman. I'm Andrew Mason. Thanks for listening here. 98.1 FM. 107.5 HD3 FM, and of course, MileHighSportsRadio.com worldwide. I know just who you are. See, use it. Your hormones probably switch inside your DNA.